So our scripture this morning is from John. It's chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, and it's the story of the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the Good Shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. So before I start this today, I'm a city boy. I don't know anything about sheep. So any sheep people in the crowd? A couple. Okay. So if I lie about the sheep, just stop me and tell me that's not true. Okay? So this is a story about the good shepherd and the bad shepherd. And I put in there the faithful and the unfaithful shepherd. And so in this time, the shepherd was absolutely 100% responsible for the sheep. And so if something happened to him, you just couldn't go back to the owner and say, one left. That just wasn't acceptable. If you lost one, then you had a financial obligation to kind of offset the cost. And so if a wolf got one, you literally had to drag back the body or what was left of the body to prove that you did all you could to protect. Now, some of you who I've teased about volunteering today, I do have two young ladies that have agreed to volunteer to help me on this next part. So Nita and Annie, if you would take your positions, please. So one of the things that the shepherds did was, I mean, you have to sleep eventually, right? No matter who you are. Okay? You have to sleep eventually. And one of the things was, how can you take care of the sheep when you're asleep at night? And so when we were in Jerusalem, and this was near Bethlehem, they had a bunch of little caves in the side of the mountain. And they weren't really much bigger than this area, maybe up here. And there was only one entrance in and one entrance out. And so what the shepherds would do is they would, you know, herd the sheep into this little cave. And like for me, I had to duck down. You couldn't even stand up in it. And then what they would do, and this is why we have two, because I wanted the people on this side to be able to see and the people on this side. The shepherd, in this case, shepherd young ladies, would lay down in front of the opening so that nobody, none of the sheep could leave without them knowing it, because they'd have to jump over them. But it also was a way of protecting them, because nothing, no wolves or people that would want to steal the sheep could go over them. And so this was a way they could get some sleep and at the same time protect the sheep. And so, thank you, ladies. So in case you guys think about coming early, that's the kind of stuff that can happen to you, okay? And so they were really responsible. And I think sometimes in scripture, because everybody then had an agricultural background for the most part, so these stories would have made sense to them. And sometimes they don't always make sense to us because we just don't understand them. And so this whole idea is that in the scripture is that God, you know God's voice because we're the sheep and we hear from God's voice all the time. Now, I bet I'm going to get more answers on this one. How many of you had people in 4-H? Okay, so no 4-H in my family. We did food and stuff, but we didn't let them have sheep at home. So how many of you have been at the 4-H auction and the boy or girl takes, whether it's a sheep, we'll use sheep in this story, and they take the sheep into the pen, and literally the sheep somehow knows it's not coming out the other side. Well, it is going out the other side, but not home with who he came with. But they will literally jump up and hug the little boy or girl that's taking care of them. You know that that sheep and that child have worked together because the sheep is crying as it's going out the other end. And usually the little girl's crying too. I think that helps with the judges. But everybody's crying because it's so sad. They've got so close to each other. The flip side of it is, how many of you ever gone to the 4-H fair and you know that that sheep and that child have never seen each other before because that sheep's going to do exactly what it wants. It doesn't know anything about the person that's trying to lead them around the pen. That's what this is about. If we listen to God's voice and we know it, we will respond appropriately because we're used to hearing it. So my understanding from sheep is if it's somebody different, they don't pay any attention to them at all. So now I've told you the 4-H story, but now this is my play story. My guess, a lot of you might know Bob Park. He lived up in the Eaton area and they had sheep. Ball State was doing a play. Part of the play was that the girl that was the lead singer had this sheep that was part of the story. And at the very end of the play, she would pick up this kind of this small lamb and hold it and she would sing to it. And that was the way the play ended. And so Bob told him, he said, okay, here's the deal. If you don't take this sheep with you for like 2 or 3 weeks before the play starts, he'll just have a cow because he's not going to be used to the noise. He's not going to be used to the girl. So you need to come out every night and pick up the sheep and take it to practice. So for 2 weeks before this play, this friend of mine, Jay, would go out to Bob's place. Bob would come out and say, that's the sheep you want there. He would pick up the sheep and they would take it to play rehearsal. And so by the end of the 2 weeks, the girl could do almost anything with the lamb. It just loved her. She loved it. They sang, everything went okay. So on Thursday night, they do the performance and everything's okay. And on Friday night, they do the performance and everything's okay. And then on Friday night, Bob says, hey, Jay, we're not gonna be here tomorrow when you come to pick up the sheep. Do you know what sheep you're supposed to pick up? And he says, oh yeah, I know which one's ours. Okay, now I think you guys know where this story's going already. And so Jay comes out and he picks up the sheep, and so he's telling this story later and he says, you know, it just seemed a little heavier to me than it did before. And it didn't really like it when I picked it up. And he said, I picked it up every time, you know, for like 3 weeks now, and we didn't have any trouble at all. And he said, so he fights me all the way in the theater and he's carrying on and carrying on the whole time the play's going on. And when the young lady that's a singer picks him up, he just absolutely goes berserk. And so the very last song that she's singing, she's fighting the lamb the whole time. And so needless to say, it wasn't the right sheep, okay? That sheep had never heard his voice, never heard any of the singing, all the noise that went with the play. But I think it's a really good description about how we, if we hear God's voice, we know who to follow. So just like that sheep that ended up at the play at the end had no clue why they were taking him or her to some place, any place, and he didn't like it and he didn't want to participate. That's what this is about. Do we go to God in prayer? Do we take the time to listen to God so he can guide and direct us so that we know what we're supposed to do? And so in this story, there's two shepherds. There's the false shepherd who was a hired hand, is the way they make him. And he was really only concerned for the money. And so it was a little dangerous to be a shepherd because you were mostly there by yourself. There were wild animals. And I don't know if you've ever seen, but what they'll do is they'll try to get a sheep off by itself or get the shepherd distracted one way. When we were out in New Mexico at our daughter's house one day, her neighbor's Great Dane saw a coyote, and the coyote ran over the cliff, and the Great Dane started chasing it, and its owner said, stop. And he stopped. And my daughter said, why did you stop him? He's bigger than the coyote. He said, he might be bigger than that one, but he's not as big as the other five friends of his over that hill when they cleared the hill. And so that's the way they work. They try to separate out. And so the shepherd had to not only protect them from wild animals, but was responsible for robbers and anyone that would try to harm the sheep or steal them. And so I think we kind of make a change here where if we're listening to this story, it's not the sheep that God's talking about, that Jesus is talking about in this story. It switches to us because people try to do that same thing to us. I mean, part of coming together as a congregation is so that we can support each other in times of trouble or need, so that whoever the bad wolf in this case is in your life that tries to separate you off and do something or talk you into doing something you know you're not supposed to do, as a group, we're supposed to assist keeping them together. If we're listening to the voice of God because we've gone to prayer lots of times, then we'll know when we're getting off the beaten path. And so the Good Shepherd is efficient, he's kind, he's gracious, he wants to take care of all of us because he wants to make sure the sheep have plenty of grass, in our case food, plenty of water, whatever it takes to take care of us. And so you can kind, the sheep or us, now I'm going to sort of go back between us as a church or us as a congregation, either one, there's two kinds of attacks. You can have an attack from the outside. And so for the sheep, we talked about wolves and robbers and those kind of things that can happen. But you can also have attack from the inside. And so for us, are we listening to a false or unfaithful shepherd? Are we being guided and directed by someone that's not really our shepherd? And so whether that's us individually or us as a congregation or us as a church, the question is, do we have a close enough relationship with the Lord that when someone's speaking falsely to us, we know what that false message sounds like? And you guys have heard me before say I have a hard time with some of the TV evangelists because it seems to me like a lot of times they're really more interested in raising money or doing something like that than helping people. And I hadn't seen his commercials for a while, but the guy with the living water and the really bad hairdo's back. And so if you just send whatever he wants, 1995, I don't remember, he'll give you this living water and everything will be great. Because the lady just said there, I sent for the living water and somebody sent me $40,000. Okay, did those really have anything to do with each other? And is that really the faithful shepherd? Or are you just being led astray into to whatever he's really trying to do? And so I worry about those false shepherds, however they come in our lives, because they come different ways. Sometimes it's people you know, sometimes it's people you don't know. But this whole idea is, do we listen to the Lord enough that we know whether we're being led down the right path or not? And so in part of this scripture, when he talks about the flock, he said there's more than just the flock. So for us, if you want to consider us this shepherd's flock, he's saying, you know what, there's people that are outside of this group that we are responsible for too. We're not just responsible for ourselves. So however, we help other people. So my last day of class was yesterday, but I have an 8-page paper, so you might pray for me this week. It's 8 to 10 pages. It might as well be 100 for me to get to that many pages. And so that'll be my homework for this week. But one of the things we ended up talking about, we were doing Psalm 82, and in that it talks about the leaders of the world in the psalm not taking care of the orphans, not taking care of the hungry. So for us, those people, whether they're in this church or outside the church, that need our help, we're responsible to help them. I know a couple of you into giving blood before. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. I'm getting an email from them every day saying they're really short of blood donations. That was related to COVID before because people were a little hesitant to give. If you have the ability to do that this week, do it, because they're really short. In that case, we don't even know who we're helping. We're just helping some unknown person, whether it's for cancer, whether they were injured, whether they're having a surgery that needed blood, and many of us have the ability to do that. And so this idea of being open to all. And so I'm going to use John Wesley here. He ends up getting sideways with the Anglican Church, which is sort of how the Methodist Church gets started, because they don't want everybody to come to church. If you're good enough, whatever they decided good enough was, it was okay. But John Wesley went out and reached out to coal miners, people that just lived out in the country, people that were farmers, and the Anglican leaders weren't happy for that. They didn't really want everybody to be welcome. They didn't want there to be a flock of everyone. They wanted to have kind of a special flock. And so we have to be careful that we don't do that ourselves. I mean, are we really open to everyone? Are we willing to reach out to everyone in our community? And so in the commentary I was reading, he said, you know, sometimes where one church thinks it's better, one can not, let's not say church, let's say denomination. Thanks, I totally skipped my mind. One denomination thinks that they have it over another denomination better because of this part here where it talks about one church. But I don't think it really means one church. It means following one God through Jesus Christ, not that there can only be one church. And so are we willing to see that? That it's okay that there's different churches and different denominations. The question is, are we all being led to Jesus Christ by that faithful shepherd, whoever that is? And so in conclusion, so it's not an us versus them. It's not that we're the flock that's so special. So for the Jewish people, they always thought they were the chosen ones. What we're starting to see, we see it a little bit in the Old Testament, we see it in the New Testament, is God's reaching out to say, hey, everybody should be under this one God, led by Jesus Christ for all of us. And so the way that happens is, do we listen to however God talks to us? Sometimes that's through prayer. Sometimes it's someone is brought into our life that we're supposed to listen to. Sometimes it's something we read, something we hear, a hymn that we sing. It can be done a lot of ways. But the question is, are we listening to what God is trying to tell us? Are we being led by God's voice and guidance? Because if we are, then we might mess it up because we're people. But at least we're going down the right road and we're trying to do the right thing. Doesn't mean everything's going to work out. Doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect, because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes even when I'm pretty sure God's telling me to do something, I mess up some of the details. But I know he'll work it out eventually in spite of me, okay? And so that's really what this scripture's about. Do we hear God talking to us? Have we had enough of a relationship with him that we know how he's trying to guide and direct us? How he's trying to lead us into whatever future he's trying to lead us to? And so if you're not taking the time to listen to that voice, however you want to do it, and there's a zillion different ways to do that, then find some time to do that. Because at the end of the day, if you can lead your life being directed by God, doesn't mean things will be perfect. It just means you won't make some of the mistakes. You won't be led astray by the false shepherd. Things will just be easier. Didn't say they'd be perfect. Didn't say everything would be right 100% of the time. But it just makes life simpler. Let us pray. Father, let us be guided and directed in your voice at all times. Let us not be led astray by the bad shepherd. Let us hear your voice in all that we do and say in your world. Let us guide and direct others to listen to your voice, to hear the wonderful things that you lead us to do each and every day in your world. Amen.